Isn't this powerful? That as adults and families and young people, that we bear witness to our experience of God, and our children bear witness to us, that their voices speak to us and give us insight on worship and discipleship. And so it's exciting and a privilege to welcome four members of our youth group to bring aspects of the message to us for this Sunday. So I invite you to tune your ears and your hearts to hear what God might reveal to you through their words this morning.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to the Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, two saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, with the foal of a beast burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. To kind of understand the passage, we need to understand what kind of a king Jesus is. Jesus is not an emperor or a dictator of any kind. He's a guardian, someone who protects those around him and to his followers as well. He enters Jerusalem with modesty and humility and greets all the children of the village. He's not cruel, he's kind to any and all, and he is the greatest gift bestowed upon us. He does not use his power for evil. He does not use his power to gain money, fame, or wealth. He uses his immense power to instead give back to his community, the ones who have been falling from the start or those who have just started following him. He forgives all sins, which is something that cannot be beaten. When Jesus enters Jerusalem, he does not come in wearing fancy clothes with warriors beside him. He does not enter Jerusalem on a carriage with others bowing down to him. He entered Jerusalem on a donkey, and one that he borrowed from the locals. Jesus even made sure that the donkey had her young ones nearby. He always gives back to his community, because even though he is a king, he does not present himself as one. He's presented as more of a friend of sorts. He does not demand from his followers. He instead gives to them. He cares for those who love him and cares for those who don't. Jesus is our one and only king, and no king, future or past, will ever surpass our Lord and Savior. Jesus is our one and only, and nothing will ever take that away from us. But the amount of good that he did and is doing is immeasurable. It shows he still cares for us even after he was crucified. He still loves us. Matthew 21, 1 through 6 is a great example of how Jesus presents himself in front of his followers, in front of his disciples, how he treats them, and how he shows he still loves us even after everything we've done, and that God will always be by our side.
Mark chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others leafy branches they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of David. Hosanna in the highest. So I'm going to start this off with a question. How do we worship nowadays compared to the people in this passage? You don't see people praising this way, but you do see people going nuts at a Taylor Swift concert or some giant sports event like the Super Bowl. Why are we more comfortable in going over the top in those settings than we are praising God? You also may wonder why the people were laying their cloaks down on the road for Jesus. Well, they were receiving him as king. Back then, cloaks were very symbolic. Instead of like a sweatshirt with a logo, cloaks told a lot about a person's identity. You could tell about a person's status or job by the style of their cloak. In business, people would trade their cloak in as assurance that they would pay off their debt by the end of the day. This was important because they used their cloak for a blanket for sleeping at night. So laying down their cloak was big for them. It was one of their prized possession. So what is our modern day cloak? Think of the things you use every day, necessities. the parts of your life that identify you to others. It might be a possession like a car, your computer, or your phone. It could be a job, a talent, or a hobby. One of my cloaks is music. A couple of years ago, me and my family were doing a month of all Christian music. During that month, I felt a calling to play music like that. 2 months later, I was baptized on my 9th birthday. Since then, I've been trying to find God's purpose for my musical talent. I spent time writing and practicing worship songs. I lead hymns for a group of other students once a month. I've had to learn to play so that others can join in worship instead of like I'm performing. So today, consider what your cloaks might be and how you can lay them down for as an act of worship for Jesus.
What did the people think when they saw Jesus coming into Jerusalem? The Bible tells us in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 13, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." At this time, Jesus was a known person. Stories of him, his sermons and teachings had reached the ears of the people in Jerusalem. And so, when word reached Jerusalem that Jesus had arrived, many came to see this person they had only heard stories of. For others, though, they saw him as a man sent by God to overthrow the Romans, because at this time, not everyone knew God's plan. When we read the people crying out, "Hosanna," in verse 13, the word means save now. The people are asking for a savior. But there were others who wanted him to be nothing of the sort. In John chapter 12, verses 17 through 19, we get to see what the Pharisees thought of Jesus when he had arrived in Jerusalem after bringing Lazarus back from the dead. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." As we can see, the Pharisees did not see Jesus as a savior, like those who first met him entering Jerusalem. The Pharisees saw Jesus as a false prophet, a man to mislead those around him. But the disciples and listeners of his words saw him as the Messianic King. How can we invite people to see Jesus as the Messianic King today? There are plenty of ways we can show others that Jesus is the Messianic King. One of those is bringing those people to church, introducing them to the Bible, sharing both the Old Testament prophecy and the New Testament fulfillment, even sharing our individual experiences of Jesus in our own lives, miracles and answered prayers that are unexplainable and seem impossible.
This is Matthew 21. Oh, wait, no, sorry. This is Luke. Okay. This is Luke 19:37-40. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mountain of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." In these verses, Jesus comes down the Mount of Olives. The disciples loudly glorify him whilst the Pharisees complain and ask Jesus to quiet them. Although this may not be true for everyone, I know that sometimes I act like the disciples, openly praising and worshiping our Lord and his word, while other times I tend to act like the Pharisees, trying to silence and suppress God. I often struggle with proclaiming the gospel, trying to resemble Jesus in everything I do, and even reading my Bible daily, even though I am strongly assured and certain of my knowledge of God. I tend to avoid conversations about religion and grow anxious when Christianity becomes a topic of conversation for fear that I will be rejected by my peers. God wants us to praise him, but he does not need us to. God wants us to act like the disciples and rejoice in him, but even when we act like the Pharisees, God's word cannot be silenced. No matter how much any force tries to quiet our loud praises of our Lord, he will always be praised by the rest of his creation. God has always been there and always will be. Nothing and no one can silence God and or his word. And although we are silent at times, the stones cry out.
Amen. Amen. As I don't know about you, but I want to be like one of these teenagers when I grow up. That's a powerful word, guys. Thank you for sharing that. And children, thank you for leading us in worship today with each song, with each sign, with each bell. You draw us into the presence of God. Beloved, our younger brothers and sisters have challenged us to see Jesus as King. Amen? Jesus is our King. He is our guardian, our God. He is generous. If we came into this celebration day thinking Jesus is King, is all about what God is taking from us, then William's words confront us with the powerful truth, Jesus is King and he gives generously of himself to us. From the youngest to the oldest, from the most powerful to the least, Jesus is King and he invites us to celebrate his rule and reign. Jesus is our one and only. Jesus is our King and he is inviting us to worship, to lay down cloaks and palm branches. He gently enters into our world not only to be near us, not entering on a war horse, exultant in power, but in true strength, in meekness, he rides a foal of a donkey and we see him for his glory, the everlasting promised Messiah, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the form as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Right, Liam? Amen. I love this sound. Can we just stop and this is such an incredible, this is the sound of a living church. Thank you. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue according to Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Beloved, what is God calling you to lay down as an act of worship? What is the cloak that you've brought in with you today? Friends, Jesus brings the dead back to life. Even as he faces the cross, even as he faces the tomb, he brings us to life. Jesus comes in the name of the Lord our God, our Father. Blessed, we are the witnesses to his power. We've seen Jesus, the King, take the lifeless place and speak resurrection. We've also seen where we hear the voice of God, and like Maren showed us, we try to silence it, to suppress it. We know those places in our lives where Jesus Christ is calling us to response, and we tighten our lips. Where the vulnerability of openness causes us to shrink back. Beloved, hear the testimony of our brothers and sisters. God's word cannot be silenced. Why let the rocks sing in our place? Why let creation lift up our worship? William, Ezra, Chris, and Maren illuminate for us that Jesus is King. He is calling us to worship, offering us life as he invites us on this Palm Sunday to response. Would you take the next few minutes and deeply reflect on what they have shown us from God's word? Take each point, if we can put the slide up. Just take a moment and invite the Spirit to speak to your life and say, where is he calling me to worship? Where is he bringing dead places in me to life? Where is he inviting me to response? Beloved, don't let the rocks cry in your place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you invite the body of Christ to come and worship you. And that's from the oldest to the youngest. Lord, that's the newest born baby in our congregation and the oldest member who is watching on Zoom. Lord, you see us all in this house and across the world. So, Lord, on this celebration day, we praise you that your name is Jesus, God saves. And we lift with that our prayer of Hosanna. Oh, God, save us now. As we enter into this Passion Week, this Holy Week, Father, I pray that we would face the table that your Son, Jesus Christ, set before us, that we might take up the bread and the cup, drawing near to you, listening to your Holy Spirit as you guide us through this time of deeper reflection. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.